News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, exactly. And Mobile Mornings with another hot one on the way. Dr. Bill says we do have a chance of rain that enters the picture, I guess, beginning tomorrow and also Friday and Saturday. So that's right in line with high school football, actually. Yeah. First week of high school football in our area. The first week of college football in Dublin.
Yeah.
So you have Kansas State and
Iowa State
teams that are maybe, you know, I'm just guessing, maybe 500 miles from each other or less. And they decide they're going to go to Ireland to play.
Go to Ireland.
So yeah, I don't think there's any real connection there. But, hey, it's the first week of football. I remember last year was Georgia Tech against Florida State. It was a good game.
Was it Georgia Tech, Florida State? Notre Dame, Florida. You're right. The year before, it was Notre Dame.
Navy.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Last year, remember that was the same day that the Warrior Legacy Ranch had their event that night. I went out there. First time to get out to over in
Robertsdale.
What'd you call it? Yeah, Robertsdale, basically, maybe in the, I guess, the city limits of Robertsdale, possibly, but right off the Foley Beach Express. I went out there to see the team and talk to everybody out there and get an idea what they were up to. They had a big concert event that night. On my way back, I stopped downtown to get a sandwich and watch good football.
Yeah.
We didn't know that Florida State was going to be a complete disaster last year. That was, you know, we had no idea. But in any event, football's back.
Yeah, and just we won't spend too much time on it, but I want to let you know the options you have on FM Talk 106.5 if you're into that kind of thing. First off, tomorrow night we're getting Tiger Talk and Tiger Talk Overtime with Doug Holton started back. So you'll hear from the Plains, and then you'll hear from Holton here. And that'll start at 6 o'clock tomorrow night with Tiger Talk Overtime following at 7 o'clock. On Saturdays, as usual, 8 to 10, you get Prep Sports Report with Coach Rick Cleveland and Mark Lassiter. I know Holton joins from time to time. Randy Bergen, of course, hosting it. And then after Prep Sports Report on Saturday mornings, you get Southern Fairways, where they talk many sports, but especially this time of year, they're talking high school and college football. And also, Rick Cleveland does a podcast. Now, it's not on the air, but at Prep Sports Report on that Facebook page every Tuesday night, he is doing high school sports today, some really good stuff. So if you're excited about high school football or college football, we have you covered here at FM Talk 106.5. Some local stories that are generating discussion this morning and also online, and we'll try to get to a couple of them here this first half hour. We'll start with one that I really don't know a whole lot about, and I'm sure some people are more in the know than I, but Sheriff Birch really kind of leaving us with a cliffhanger yesterday on Facebook.
I would say so, but he promises to follow up on it, right?
He does. So here's the post. Attention law-abiding citizens and supporters of animal rights. In recent months, a particular Mobile County Circuit judge has made some of the worst rulings from the bench for criminal cases. The judge might as well be a defense attorney because he's doing their work for them. The recent rulings are despicable from a criminal justice perspective. I will soon be posting an open letter with details and the name of the judge. That was what the sheriff posted on Facebook, and it's gotten a ton of reaction there with over 390 likes.
Wow.
Or the emoji where the smiley face is going with its mouth open, like, oh. It's also gotten
pretty good impersonation of an emoji.
69 comments and 69 shares.
In the comments, do you crack the case with some of the comments?
I was coming, and he left us some hints there. And again, like I said, some of you are probably more in the know, and I could go through each of the rulings of the circuit court judges and maybe figure it out that way. But he said what was it? He said, this judge might as well be a defense attorney because he is doing their work for them.
Hmm.
So that strikes out the female circuit court judges. But in the comments, you have somebody saying, I have a good idea who it is. One, call them out, Sheriff, proud of you. One says, animal cruelty is not okay under any circumstances.
Hmm.
But again, what cases is he talking about here? I'm not sure.
I don't remember any cases that were in the media that we saw, or that we reported on.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. Yes, please tell us. We need to know who's a part of this huge, serious problem that the city and county have. Thank you for being a part of the solution. So we'll see. I don't want to speculate too much. I mean, I guess we could all speculate what kind of cases he might be talking about here. There's been a problem in the past with people leaving their dogs, you know, chained to trees or just outside during, not that it's a problem to have an outside dog. I'm not one of those people. But when you have sometimes malnutrition dogs or dogs that are creating other problems for neighbors, there haven't been very many strict rulings over the years on the people that do that. So I don't know if that's what he's referencing here or what, but we'll keep you updated as that continues.
I'll tell you about the time that in my neighborhood, might have been 20 years ago now, a guy moved in. He was renting. There were a few rental houses in our neighborhood, and sometimes that would be a problem because people that are renting aren't, they're not really invested.
They don't care for the property the same way.
They don't care same way at all, right? And anyway, he had a dog that he had chained to, like, maybe it was a tree out front, and the dog was very menacing, and it was just, and it was kind of sad to see the dog chained out front, and everybody was talking about the dog, you know, in the neighborhood, kind of talking around him about it, and I went down there and talked to him about it.
You talked to the dog?
Talked to the dog first. I thought that would be the only respectful thing to do.
Yeah.
Let's get his opinion on all this.
Yeah.
But I did. I talked to the guy, and we probably talked for 20 minutes or longer, and he was like, I served in the Air Force. It's my house. I rent it.
My dog.
I can do what I want to do. And I said, well, it's just not really very welcoming to the you know, you're not making a good impression if you care about that at all. And he said, no, I don't care, and blah, blah, blah. But in the end, I don't know. He put the dog in the backyard.
No, got to him.
I guess, but during the conversation, it didn't seem like I got to him at all. But every now and then when you're faced with something like that, it's just uncomfortable. It's like, what are you doing, man? Mm-hmm. I mean, I get it. You're a grown man. You served. I get it, okay? And I told him all that. I get it. Yeah, you can do what you want to do. I'm just telling you
what the perception is.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, growing up, I mean, all I had were outside dogs. We didn't really keep them inside. There were people that feel like just having an outside dog is animal cruelty. And I think those people are kind of a little too PETA-ish for me. Now, since I've gotten my own family, we have indoor dogs now, which I'm not always completely stoked about, but it was certainly a change for me. But, you know, even when you have outside dogs, when it's incredibly cold, you try to warm them up, whether you're putting hay in their dog houses or bringing them into the garage if it's bad enough, or when it's incredibly hot, you got to take care of them. And I know that's been an issue with some people that just keep their dogs out all the time. How about the barking dogs that terrorize neighborhoods by just barking
all the time, day and night? Yep.
And I was worried I had one of those, the blue tick I have, who's, of course, a loud, loud animal. But
well, you took him to the elephant and got him all straightened out.
Yeah, and we've kind of reined him in. And, of course, don't keep him out at night to let him howl all night long. So, but I know that's been an issue. I don't know if that's what this has to do with or not, but we will find out here. Once Sheriff Birch kind of follows up on that, the other, well, we've had two of our lead stories this morning. Michael Pierce speaking out about his being relieved of duties from the Mobile Housing Authority, kind of trying the same line that former Police Chief Prine was using, basically saying that the mayor, it was a politically motivated ousting by Mayor Stimson. Now, the difference in those two cases is, first, you know, Prine got a lot more coverage, and that was a lot more high-profile position with the city. But he had a groundswell of support behind him that included law enforcement officers and constituents, right? People that live in the city and were depend on MPD. And you could see that pretty clearly in who is supporting him for mayor right now. I'm not sensing the same kind of public support, and maybe I'm just not ear to the ground in the right places, but for Michael Pierce, not sensing the same kind of public support that Prine did, even though he's kind of trying to claim a similar ousting.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, if you watch the interview on NBC 15, I'll just say watch it. And then that may clue you into to the way it struck me. Also, there's been rumblings, there's been talk, there's been whispers about the housing authority for a long time, for problems with it all, right? There's been complaints, there's been... Now, there may be something more to the story. I'm not saying there isn't, in terms of the HUD aspect of it all, and he said it's got to do with money and a land grab and all that. There may be something to that, but there has been, for a long time, concern about his level of competency on the job. I mean, that's just... I've known Michael a long time, seen him at football games, seems like a fine guy, but I know that it's all, not always been a completely clean slate in terms of the opinion of the job that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
That's fair. I think you had a clip from it too, from that NBC 15 interview.
Here he is.
So to say that they were making an objective decision to ensure that the scarce resources that public housing authorities receive around the country were properly administered, etc., they had no idea. So then how did they reach that conclusion? I'll leave that up to you.
So what he's saying is that the board was constructed in a way with people who didn't have, that weren't on the board long, or didn't have, or did attend meetings or whatever. One of the board members, of the three board members, was a resident of the Mobile Housing Board, somebody who used their services.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he was saying was, these people didn't have a clue how this thing's supposed to go down anyway. So he felt like he was railroaded out. So again, text line, that's what it's there for. Do you have any, have you had any dealings with the housing board in the past? 251-343-0106. Let us know your thoughts.
And of course, there's been some major changes to housing under the MHA over the last, well, certainly decade, but really, I guess the last 5 years. I'm not sure when they really started moving people out of the projects, the affordable housing, I guess, as
it's
called.
And the last ones where they moved them out, I believe it was that where they cleared it off for the airport.
For the airport.
And wasn't it William Carroll, the councilman, and also Pierce, that got into a big...
Yeah, a little bit of a discussion, was, right? Heated discussion.
Right, there was a some sort of a public forum of some sort, mm-hmm. where they were both there, and it got heated between the two of them.
I can't remember the specifics on that. Maybe I'll have to look it up, but I do remember something similar to that happening. 251-343-0106. We'll also talk about the Big Creek Lake, latest on that from Lanyap when we get... well, I'll just go ahead and start letting you know. We started a couple weeks ago, and Lanyap had the reporting then about fishermen defying MAWS and taking kayaks out onto Big Creek Lake to fish, despite MAWS saying that Big Creek Lake was closed to public access.
Basically a daily occurrence, right? Or it was reported that way.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if they're day in and day out getting out there.
And if it's a handful of people or more, I don't... It's a big lake. Mm-hmm. It's a big waterway.
And it's a political protest more than anything, it seems. And so what you've had, they've been entering the lake via the stream from the north and mm-hmm. coming down via that navigable waterway on public land into Big Creek Lake. So you had this week, Andy Ellsworth on Monday went out, did the same thing, put his kayak in north of Big Creek Lake, said from a right-of-way along Highway 158. He and his cousin paddled southward, they eventually made it onto the lake where the Mobile County Sheriff's Office took their information as they've been doing, but didn't make any arrests and didn't make them get off of the lake. They just took down his info once MAWS let them know that someone was out there. Well, he said since he fished last Tuesday, between then and Monday of this week when he went back out, MAWS had placed a boom in that waterway to make it, well, he says, to make it more difficult to get into Big Creek Lake. He feels like they're trying to manufacture violations so that people get in charge. Now, MAWS,
it's not a bad choice of words. So what he's saying is they put it up there mm-hmm. to make me have to cross it.
Yeah.
Because you know if I'm gonna fish, I'm gonna have to get beyond this. So they put it up there, and then could come back and circle back around and say, look, you damaged our boom.
Right. Which according to MAWS could very well be a Class C felony if it falls under Alabama's critical infrastructure law. So he's saying they did that to manufacture violations. He said he and his cousin got past it. It took them some time. I guess it maybe caused some damage, it seems.
I think Maws said it did, right?
Yeah, and but they're saying it's not a blockade, Maws. They're saying that it's meant to be put there to keep bad things from damaging the water system there, from getting into the lake.
I mean, the same things we saw up during the oil spill, too. I mean, we saw them everywhere. Mm-hmm. They were nowhere, and then they were everywhere, and it had to do, obviously, with trying to keep the oil away from the water and keep it from damaging seafood and salt water and fresh water as well.
Yeah, and so they said the Maws said they were meant to isolate any toxic spill from nearby roads or pipelines. So Lanyap, Scott Johnson, I'm guessing, who wrote this article, requested documentation from Maws indicating the need for a boom at that location.
Okay.
The utility provided a plan from 2018, which recommended installing two floating booms in the vicinity to prevent potential contamination of hazardous materials that could be spilled from Highway 158 and the railroad. But Maws did not explain why it waited until this past week to implement that strategy.
Yeah, they got right on it, right?
Years later.
2018, they decided it was needed, and suddenly it appears in 2025.
Yeah. So your thoughts on that? We already have plenty of text to get to. 251-343-0106.
Yeah. This portion of the show called Dan and Dalton just running their mouth at 823 Mobile Mornings. And again, if you want to call, too, feel free. 251-343-0106. Well, if you concentrate real hard during the commercial breaks, you may notice that there's some elections coming up.
Yeah.
828 Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 on Mobile Mornings.
So some texts regarding the Big Creek Lake situation.
Yeah.
Backstrap Stacker said Ellsworth would win any lawsuit. You can't block navigable waters. You have this texter who said he should sue Maws for potentially damaging his kayak.
Flip it on him.
You can't sue me. I'm suing you.
Yeah.
Jason says, good morning, guys. At this point, the Big Creek Lake people are no different than the loons that lay in the road. They are provoking law enforcement in order to play the victim. I absolutely don't agree with Maws, but there are better ways to have this fight. Another texter said, Maws, the most corrupt company in Mobile. That's from Mob Dog.
That's a big hill to climb, hill to scale.
Yeah, that's like the top 10 in the football standings.
Good luck.
Vince says, I wish someone with a helicopter or seaplane would start a business that would drop kayaks and fishermen into the lake for fishing excursions,
bloop,
completely avoiding trespassing on Maws' property, just to give Maws and the involved politicians the finger. So that would be epic. Now, would they have to rescue? Would they have to pick the kayaks back up to get them off the lake?
Or would you drop off? You then got to get back up,
or
right?
Would they row out? Yeah. 251-343-0106. That's the number if you want to get involved. Plenty more text to get to as well.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along. We'll talk with Jeff Four from the Jeff Four Show at the back end of near the top of the hour. Get a preview of his show.
8:35 on FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine. Football getting started this weekend, so I know we're excited about that, and I know you're excited about it over at McConnell also, but hunting season on the way, too, and you've got some trucks that can, carry a lot of weight in those hunting camps.
That's right. We got some four-wheel drive trucks over there. We got about 35 trucks in stock. Some of those are certified, which gives you an extra 12 on the factory warranty. It bumps that powertrain up to 100,000 miles. I'm sitting there on the new car side right now looking at this beautiful AT4. Talk about a hunting camp truck. Boy, this little Yukon is fine. That green color, the new color out now, and it looks great, and got a great selection of three-quarter ton trucks. You kill that big old deer, you haul it in that. But we're going to be here all day today, and it looks like it's going to be a nice hot day, but we got the air conditioning going. And like you said, football season coming up. We got the TVs all real well oiled up. They're all going to be out. So if you come by a car, you want to see a game, we're probably going to have it on the TVs. We got about eight of them. So
yeah, I love that. And many more things that you offer when folks come out to McConnell to either buy a vehicle, sell their vehicle, or get their vehicle fixed up right. We appreciate your time this morning, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Arata. Yeah, go see him. He's at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. The hot mic that happened when President Trump had his meeting with
Monday.
All the European leaders Monday. Was that, was anything to that, or was that he was talking about Crohn at the time? And I know that the you're like, thinking, nah, maybe it was almost intended?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it was intentional or not. I do know that what he was caught on the hot mic saying wasn't bad.
Wasn't inflammatory,
he was,
no.
He actually, the way he was talking to Macron, it was, he more or less said, and I don't know if you have the audio.
Oh,
or,
I think, no, I don't have the audio, but he said that Putin wants to do this for me.
Yeah, and he said, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
He said, I think Putin really wants to get this deal done for me. What do you, he said something like, how about that? Or what do you think about that? And then he goes, it's crazy, but I think it's true. So, and Macron, that was one of the obvious and most notable differences, this time around, was the gratitude that Zelensky showed, especially, but the rest of the European leaders that came over, the most confrontational moment came with the German Chancellor Merz. And he and Macron continue to insist on a ceasefire prior to a full peace deal.
Right.
And Trump is saying, I don't think that that's how this is going to go down. He said, none of the other wars that I've ended this year have had a ceasefire prior to the peace deal. So we're just going to power through and make it happen.
And when you think about it, the European leaders, I mean, they are the leaders of all of these different nations. They dropped everything. To get, that was kind of a spur of the moment in a way, right? So you had the Alaska summit on Friday, that was to appease Putin
and at least get face to face discussions,
and also meet him kind of halfway between D.C. and Moscow. So that happened to be in Alaska. There's some other weird things that were happening in Alaska that day, too, that were public relations related.
And I'll play some of that audio. That's some interesting stuff.
Yeah. And so then you had, of course, immediately, I guess, the wheels began to turn. And by Monday, I mean, that was a lot of quick decisions were made to get to Washington, D.C., to get to the White House, to meet with Trump, and to have that 6 or 7 hour meeting that they had on Monday. I mean, a lot has happened in the last, you know, several days that makes your head spin, but maybe we're probably closer to any kind of a possible peace than we've been for 3.5 years, right?
Yeah, and hopefully that meeting comes soon. And I know Trump and his team continued to talk about that yesterday. And a lot of the liberal media, once it was determined that those European leaders would be accompanying Zelensky to D.C., you know, their whole line was, well, they're just trying to keep him from being bullied.
Yeah.
I do think there's something to them all coming over worried about what deal Zelensky would have maybe come to with Trump if he had been on his own. But I think that's because they all have their own...
They've got all their own interest in all
interests.
This. And their interest is now peaking. And also, there's nobody else that could have... you know, Jeff and maybe it was... Bradley J. from Breitbart, they were talking about this, you know, be it Trump or be it the office of the President of the United States, you can say either way. I don't think Biden could have made this happen, but maybe a strong president. But President Trump is certainly the one guy in power now that could have made that meeting happen.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody else could have.
And Trump was going after Obama yesterday. He said, you know, Russia took Crimea
nothing
with Obama in charge.
Right.
And he said, if that had been me, I mean, we'd never hear the end of it. But because Obama did it, that's rarely discussed.
You never know. Let's listen to a little bit of what Trump had to say yesterday. A couple of short bites.
We're going
to
find out about President Putin in the next couple of weeks, that I can tell you. And we're going to see where it all goes. It's possible that he doesn't want to make a deal.
So that's a little different than the he's doing this for me. Is that in that crazy? But he was on Fox there saying, and I think we have to, you know, we've got to consider that there may be a chance that he does not want to make a deal, or he is not satisfied with a deal, and this war continues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he could be playing everybody
yes.
for fools. But just like Netanyahu, just like any world leader, you got to keep in mind also what resistance he's facing within Russia, because, you know, obviously he runs the show. He can do what he wants. Putin can, that is. But public sentiment means a lot, too. And are the people in Russia tired of the war? I know many of them have to be, grieving.
Yeah, they certainly are.
They've lost so many of their young men fighting in this war. But I'm sure you also have your war hawks in Russia who are even more determined than Putin is to take all of Ukraine and to not stop there. So what Putin's true aims are, it's difficult to tell. But you can't get mad at Trump for bringing us closer to some sort of deal. And I don't think Putin will find a president more willing to make a deal that would maybe help him out than Trump. So if he's going to act, he would have to act while Trump is in office and while he's kind of been given this
this opportunity,
given this slack in the line to do what he's doing. So there's so many things that are in play here.
Here's more from Trump if you want to kind of read into what he's thinking.
I hope President Putin is going to be good, and if he's not, it's going to be a rough situation. And I hope President Zelensky will do what he has to do. He has to show some flexibility also.
So I guess when he's talking about flexibility, he's talking about the land swap or whatever you want to call it, or how much do they cede to Russia? Do they even offer them little parts of Ukraine that they're not
occupying right now,
lording over right now? Right. I mean, that would be tough concessions to ask or to get from Zelensky, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At this point, I think everyone who lives in the real world knows that there will be land that was previously Ukrainian that Russia will take in this peace deal. I mean, there's just no other way around it. For anyone who thinks that Russia's going to be driven all the way back, even past Crimea, that's just not going to happen. Also, yesterday when Trump said claimed land, so James texting this morning, he says, land theft, you mean? It's an invasion, but it's war. And war has a different set of rules, even when they try to put rules on war, obviously. But James said, Trump also said he has stopped 7 wars, too. Which ones? And I was asking that yesterday. I couldn't name them off the top of my head, but I hit the old Google machine. Say which of the wars Trump claims he helped in this year? So you have Israel, Iran, most notable.
Yeah, it's such an amazing year that you forget about that.
Yeah, Israel, Iran, India, Pakistan.
Yeah,
two nuclear powers, albeit limited nuclear powers, but still two nuclear powers that hate each other. Armenia and Azerbaijan, Congo and Rwanda, so that's 4. Thailand and Cambodia, that's the 5th one he's talking about here. Egypt, Ethiopia, Nile Dam dispute in July of this year.
Huh.
That wasn't necessarily a war, but a dispute. And then Serbia and Kosovo relations. So those are the 7 here that he is referencing in the U.S. Houthi ceasefire. I don't know if he's considering that as well. But that's what Google helped me come up with here. But, you know, it's also a PR battle for Russia. And I found this interesting, to say the least. They sent out a TV crew, Russia did, into Anchorage before this meeting that Trump had with Putin. And Putin, so this guy out of Alaska, Mark Warren is his name, and he went viral online in Russia shortly before that summit.
Okay.
Russian reporters were kind of combing the streets, stumbled upon him in the streets of Anchorage. Warren was flagged down by a Russian TV crew August 9th when they noticed his Soviet-era bike. The crew was fascinated with the bike and started asking Warren questions.
Bicycle?
No, a motorcycle.
Okay.
Warren said that maintaining the bike, the motorcycle, was becoming difficult because the manufacturing plant is now located in Ukraine.
Okay.
The reporter, Reuters reported, the reporters stopped to admire Warren's bike, which is manufactured by Ural, whose original factory was founded in 1941 in what was then Soviet Russia. The story went viral in Russia, even caught the attention of Putin, who, while Putin was in town, gifted this Mark Warren a new motorcycle. I believe the same kind as the one he said he was having trouble getting parts for. Now, they did like a
Putin gave him a motorcycle?
Gave him a motorcycle. And they did a post-gifting interview here. And you could tell this guy knows how much flack he's going to be catching from people for receiving a gift from Putin, the war criminal. And he's answering the questions kind of in that fashion where he's like, and when they ask him, well, I'll just play it for you here. Here's part of it.
Hang on. Here we go.
What do you think looks it is?
Like this is the gifting. This is like when they show up to your front door with that massive $100,000 check.
Yes.
Looks like a bike.
Looks like a Ural.
Show me. Yeah, let's take a look at it.
They're taking the cover off the bike. This is Warren.
Just this is a personal gift from the president of the Russian Federation.
Very good.
To you.
Very good.
It's kind of crazy.
What was your reaction when you were told that they were going to give you this bike? Was this like, did you think this was a hoax? What was going through your mind?
Absolutely, I thought it was a hoax. Because they don't know me, I don't know them. There is no reason why they should give me a bike. I haven't done anything for them or to them, and I don't know anybody. So yeah, it's so absolutely astronomically random that it was hard for me to understand why this happens. Matter of fact, I still don't know
why. What kind of got you the courage to be like, okay, I'll take this bike, I'll go down there and meet you?
I think the fact that it's in a public place. When you meet someone and it's in a public, busy hotel lobby, I think the anticipation of danger is pretty low.
So he's treating this like a Facebook Marketplace meetup. He's like told the Russians want to give you this bike, and he said, well, we're going to have to meet in a public place first off. I'm not doing this at my home or certainly at the top of a tall building.
So that was his request? If we're going to do this, here's how we're going to do it?
I imagine he's the one who said, let's meet in public. He continues here.
Did you ever have any second guesses of maybe I should not accept this gift?
No.
Why so?
I don't think if I was accepting this gift for some nefarious purpose or for some favor or something else that I had to do to interact with them, I would definitely not do it.
So he was very contemplative in his answers. He wanted to make sure he said the right things. And I think just getting out there, he's like, I don't know these people. I didn't expect this. This was the most random thing of all time. But that's pretty interesting that they would come over and gift a man from Anchorage this bike after he goes viral in Russia.
It's crazy because, he's not expecting any of this. There's going to be this summit in Alaska, which is, and even Anchorage, I guess, pretty good-sized city. The chances of him being part of this story in any way are completely remote.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he becomes like his own singular story. He's the guy that Putin gave the motorcycle to.
Well, and imagine the attention he's going to receive now, not just from people who are upset that he took this bike, but also the federal government. I imagine they want to know some things about how all this went down. It's just one of the craziest things I've seen. Let's see, Captain Doug, just quickly, I'll read this text. He says, if Ukraine is forced to cede land to Russia, then that gives a green light to China in regards to Taiwan. Michael says, Trump's talking yesterday about trying to end the war to stop the senseless killing. I think his most honest motivation. Now, keep the text coming, 251-343-0106.
Seems to be true, right? Trump's talking about going to stop the killing.
He talked about trying to get into heaven yesterday, too.
He did. It is 850 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. We'll talk with Jeff Poore on the way. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 855 on Mobile Mornings. Bumping up against the Jeff Poore Show, which is on the way next.
Yeah, it sure is. And Jeff joins us this morning. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So your guests today, you have Dick Brubaker on in hour number one, the former state senator. So looking forward, always his takes now, which he kind of lets a little more loose now that he's not a sitting politician. Joey Clark in hour two, and then Rebecca Watson with the Fairhope Faith Collective, I guess formerly of Moms for Liberty, and she's been making the news this last week, hasn't she?
Yeah, and I guess there was another development. The library board said they would move some of the books out of the children's section, and we'll get some reaction to that. Also, she was the target of the J.D. Crow cartoon, by the way.
Yeah, what's her reaction been to that, or is this the first time you're going to get a chance to talk to her today?
No, I've talked to her a little bit about it. Because we did the forum the other night at the Baptist Church here in Fairhope, and I mean, there's kind of a line cross. I mean, like, you would have had to know that was her front yard. Yep. With the way he drew those signs. But I mean, it's pretty clear that he was like taking a dig at her. Mm-hmm. And their neighbors, and you know, that was what's going on. And any time you caricature somebody as the Ku Klux Klan, you better have your ducks in a row. He clearly didn't.
Hitler, the Klan, all that. It's a small town, Jeff. I mean, the three of you could run into each other at any time. You, J.D. Crow, the young lady with the
Faith Collective.
Well, we're all kind of like neighbors. They live on a street maybe a couple blocks away, but, you know, I got to go in and out of and you see these folks everywhere, and there's something wrong there when you're attacking your neighbor.
Yeah. Well, I rarely, let me put this on the record, I rarely think about the Klan. The only time that it really even comes up in my mind is when J.D. Crow writes another cartoon or draws another cartoon or a Democrat talks about it. But I'm just picturing him with like writer's block or doodler's block. He must be thinking about the KKK all the time.
I think he would use Nazi imagery or whatever if he could get away with it.
That's crazy.
But the AL.com crowd, I was like, well, JD, maybe just keep it to the KKK, okay? I mean, he's got problems, and y'all know him, but I don't know what's happened to this guy.
So
he's got doodler's block.
Doodler's block.
Just
there's medicine for that.
Yeah, right.
So how big is this? I understand, like, with these Fairhope elections next week, that the library is playing a pretty big role.
It's not playing as big of a role as you might perceive it to be. And that's just based on, you know, having done a few of these political events here. I mean, it's the same story about the Eastern Shore. And I was at another one last night in Daphne. It's growth. It's controlling growth. Mm-hmm. It's controlling runoff. You know, the mud into the bay. And then there's all these other issues. Obviously, public safety is always a municipal concern. The library's there. The culture issues are there in Fairhope. That's what sits it apart from, like, Daphne. They don't have these problems in Daphne. But Fairhope, it is there, and it is front and center, and that's going to get a lot of people out at the polls, I believe. Mm.
Mobile mayor's race, are you getting a feel for that at one way or the other?
I think the story of this race, whether he gets in a runoff or not, is going to be how Paul Pry probably exceeded his expectations.
Got it. All right, Jeff, on the way next, we look forward to your show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, that does it for this very special Wednesday edition of Mobile Mornings, and we'll be back for
a show with Doodler's Block.
An even more special Thursday morning edition coming up tomorrow at 6.
We promise.